We're striving. If you are visiting here, and as a reminder to our members, we're striving to be God's people. And we don't always reach the level that we should because we're human beings. We fall short. But we continue by the grace of God and by his strength to move towards Christ's likeness. And we would love to share that with you, if at all possible. Would you pray with me as we begin our lesson today? Thank you, Father, so much for blessing us. And thank you for the many ways that you have watched over us through the course of this week and through our lives. We thank you for the safety that you've provided, for the healing that has come in many occasions, for the comfort that has come to those who are bereaved. Father, we ask you to watch over us as we continue through this time of worship and getting a portion of your word into our ears and to our hearts. Help us, Father, to listen intently to what you have to say and to change our lives, Father, to reflect that which you've encouraged us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you played hide and seek when you were kids? Some of you missed out. I think in most cultures around the world, hide and seek is something that kids just naturally do. They gravitate towards that. And they may play by a little bit different rules, but pretty much it's one person is it, and everybody else, you know, runs and hides, and they count to 10, they count to 100, they count to whatever, and you got to go find them. You know, when you get to the end of that and you can't find the rest of them, you would say something like, and I remember as a child saying, "Ollie, Ollie, income free." And then you won because they couldn't find you. And you got to come in free and you didn't get tagged and that was it. But, you know, we all fall short of this guy. Bigfoot's the reigning world champion of hide and seek. You know, and having moved here from Washington, you know, I looked for him. I still couldn't find him. And I almost lost faith that he existed. And then I saw a bumper sticker that says, "Bigfoot doesn't believe in you either." Hiding isn't nearly as much fun when we're hiding from God. And there are many examples in the scriptures of people who are hiding from God. And we're going to look at a few of those examples today and hopefully bring to our attention some things that maybe we're doing or that someone else is doing that we can assist them instead of pointing fingers, but come alongside and put our arm around them and help them through what they're dealing with. I want us to start at the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at verses 1 through 10 together. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said that you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, you may eat of every tree or fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" Our great-grandparents, all the way back at the beginning, they were made perfect. They were placed into a perfect place, a place where there was no sin, there was no death, there was no disease, nothing. And they were given one negative command: stay away from that tree. Now, God wasn't caught off guard by this. We have to recognize that. When God calls out to Adam and says, "Where are you, Adam?" He wasn't asking because he didn't know where he was. He was trying to show Adam where he was. Well, you know, we hid ourselves. You know, when we hide in the forbidden in our lives, it leads to shame. They were ashamed that they were naked, but God had made them that way. They were ashamed of the way God had made them. And so they went and they hid from God. They began by hiding behind the fig leaves, and then they hid themselves even further. We do the very same thing when we engage ourselves in that which is forbidden by God. It leads us to shame, and we hide in that shame and remove ourselves from the presence of God. Continuing over into the next chapter, we have, as far as the biblical record is concerned, the first human being born on earth. His name was Cain. He had a brother named Abel. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, but its desire is for you. But you should rule over it." Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." A lot of times we hide ourselves from God in our rituals. And this ritual that we're having right here is no exception. We claim to come into the presence of God. We claim that we're going to be worshiping God, but we're actually hiding in the ritual aspect of things. I've been guilty of that, and you probably have too if you're honest with yourselves. That, you know, because we show up here and we check the box, okay, we prayed. Okay, we sang. Okay, we took the Lord's Supper. Okay, we gave something. Okay, we heard a message from God's Word. I'm good for this week. We hide behind the ritual. And that leads to lies. It leads to anger, as we see shown to us right here with Cain and Abel. You know, God said if you do well, showing Cain that, you know, I've already told you how to do well. Your brother did well. There's no reason why you can't do well. Do what I asked you to do. And he lies and he hides behind that ritual of things and only separates himself further from God. Jonah. Jonah was asked by God to go and preach a message of destruction, but a message of hope at the same time. Jonah was a prophet of God. He was a child of Abraham. He was one of Abraham's descendants. And he was asked to go to the Gentiles. Not just any set of Gentiles, but the ruling empire in the world, the Assyrians. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. He was fearful, he was anxious, and he hid behind that fearfulness and that anxiousness, and it led to disobedience to God. And when we look at what we're dealing with in life in 2021, there are things that press against us that may cause us to be anxious. And I'm not saying don't be cautious, but there's a difference between cautious and anxious. Do you know there's 40,000 people a year die in automobiles, and we don't even think twice about getting in it and driving off? 40,000 people. But you know, when we get in our automobiles, you know what we do? We put our seatbelts on. Not because we don't trust God. Because we don't trust those other people driving around. Right? And you might get anxious when you're driving because somebody's doing something kind of squirrely, but you don't get anxious before you get in the car. You're cautious. Hopefully you drive defensively. You need to do the same thing here in 2021 with whatever anxiety that you have about whatever is happening in your life and the lives of those people around you. Don't allow fear and anxiety to lead you into disobedience to God. Don't allow it to turn you to go down into a ship and go the opposite direction that God's calling you to go. An example from our New Testaments in Acts chapter 5. In the previous chapter, again, this is part of the same discussion. The chapter 5 heading there was added later. There was a man by the name of Joseph. He was a Levite from Cyprus. And because there were great need in Jerusalem, as the number of believers continued to grow, he took a piece of property that he had in Cyprus and he sold it, and he brought the proceeds of the sale of that property and he laid them at the apostles' feet to take care of whatever needs they saw were necessary. And we get to chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. That was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. You know, there was nothing wrong with them giving a portion of the money to the apostles. But when they saw that Joseph received a name called Barnabas, son of encouragement, they wanted some of what he had. They wanted that kind of accolade. They wanted that for themselves. And then when they sold the property and they saw the money that they had, they kept back part for themselves, the greed. But then when they gave the money to the apostles, they said, "Oh, this is the total price for the land." It wasn't that they gave part of the money, it's that they lied about it. Hiding behind greed and pride leads to distrust. You see, they didn't trust God. They hid behind their pride. They hid behind their greed. They didn't trust God to take care of whatever it was they thought were going to be taken care of with that extra money that they received. We hide from him today. We hide in our work, our careers, maybe our recreation, whatever our hobbies are. We hide it in our relationships from God. We bury ourselves in certain relationships and separate ourselves from God. We sometimes hide ourselves in our religion because we allow the exterior aspect of religion to serve as that hiding place for us. And we don't fully devote ourselves to God as we should. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10, the second part of verse 26, there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. You see, we think we can hide from God when in fact we can't. God is calling to us as he's walking in the cool of the garden. Where are you, Adam? He's coming to us and saying, where's your brother? He's sending a storm while we're in the belly of a boat trying to escape. He's sending an apostle to stand before us to get us to acknowledge the truth of a situation, but we continue to lie. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. As was read in our opening from Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer, after telling the readers, those Jewish converts to Christianity, to look to the example of disobedience that led to the Israelites not getting into the land of rest. Verse 11, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The psalmist writes in Psalm 137, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? The recognition in Psalm 137 or 139 is God is everywhere. He's everywhere. We can't hide from God. No matter where we make our bed, even when we leave this life, we are not hidden from him. He knows where we are. He even knows every hair that's on our heads. When one bird falls from the air and lands to the ground, God is aware of it. And are we not, according to Jesus, more valuable than a sparrow? Sparrow was not made in the image of God. We are. He knows where we are. He knows who we are. And he knows our favorite hiding place. But every man-made religion is about man seeking God. Do you realize that? Buddhism, Islam, Confucianism, Taoism, Hindu, all of those religions are man seeking God. But the Bible teaches of a God who's seeking man. He's looking for you. He's seeking you out even in your disobedience, even as you hide from him. He longs to be with you. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God didn't wait till we cried out and said, where's a savior? We need someone to die on the cross for our sins, to shed perfect blood so that we could be made whole. That's what we need. Can you please send someone? He didn't wait for us to do that. He had that plan already in place before Adam and Eve ever even thought to take the fruit. Because God loves us and he's looking for us. His desire is for us. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. To put that in the vernacular of this lesson, he was playing hide and seek. He had counted to 100, and guess where Jesus is? He's out looking for the hidden ones, those who are lost. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, encourages them with these words in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, not on the fruit of the tree, not on your brother's sacrifice, not on running away from Nineveh, not on the fact that we can gain some extra money for ourselves. Seek those things which are above. Set your mind on those things, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden where? With Christ. In God. You see, we're supposed to be hiding from the world in Christ, clothed in him, not separated from the world, but hidden from those influences of the world, hidden from those things that would cause us to want to hide ourselves from God, clothed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, looking back, there's a lot of things we would do differently, and that's, you know, outcome-based hindsight. You know, I wish I'd done this. I wish I had done that. I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't done that. We all go through those moments of regret, those moments of where we look into the things that we do in our lives. But we need to be looking to those things above rather than those things that are behind. At the close of Psalm 139, the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Now, I want to stop you real quick. And I want you to be very careful about praying this. Because I want you to think about the ramifications of praying this in your life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You better be ready to put your big boy pants on if you pray that prayer. But if you want to come out from your hiding spot, that's the prayer you need to pray. See, God has made it possible for us to be saved. He has raised us up with Christ, those who are Christians and those who are not. He offers you that opportunity as well. He's raised us up and seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And when we're hiding from the very one who purchased us, we don't even have any idea what we're doing. In Jesus Christ, God is calling out to you, Ali, Ali, income free. Because the debt's already been paid. Your sins have been washed away. And he wants to reestablish that relationship with you. That relationship that was severed in Eden, that was reestablished in Jesus Christ. He wants that. As Lyndon was talking about a while ago, this idea of communion. You know, when we gather around symbolically around the table, spiritually around the table, we're communing with each other, but we're also communing with God. And that communion should not be just when we're around the table. He wants that communion with us 168 hours a week. That's what he longs for from us. Come in from your hiding place. Come to him. Allow him to reestablish you in that place. Don't be afraid. Jesus has already taken your punishment. But you got to give your life to him. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent, turn of those things that Jesus nailed to that cross when he died, the things he bore in his own body? Are you prepared to say with your lips, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And having said that, are you willing to humble yourself? Saying, I can't save myself, God. I'm calling on you to save me. And be buried in water that is baptized for the remission of your sins. Having the blood of Christ applied to your life. Being raised to walk in a new life, clothed in Christ and added to his beloved church. No longer hidden from him, but hidden in him. Can we help you with that today? If you have a need for prayer or need to put on Christ today, won't you make that known to us as together we stand and sing.